Hi, everybody. My name is Marcella. I'm a grateful believer, celebrating 3 years of victory over nicotine addiction. Hi. Thank you. I want to start us off, before we begin anything with the lesson, with just a word of prayer. Oh, Father, just thank you so much that we could be together in your house tonight. Thank you for every person here. Lord, I just ask that I just be set aside for this lesson, that your glory and your words and your will shine through, that somebody who needed to be here tonight would hear something that would have their perspective changed, that everyone could leave just a little bit lighter, that your glory and your will be done through this teaching tonight. And just thank you in your glorious name. Amen. Always got to turn it over to him before we begin. So thank you, Jen, and the band. Wow, that was such a beautiful preparation for this lesson. And she's right, amends is maybe not our most lighthearted of the lessons that we do, but we're going for it anyway. So lesson 16, amends, we work with principle 6 and step 8. Principle 6 says, evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who've hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. Matthew 5:7 says, happy are the merciful. And Matthew 5:9, happy are the peacemakers. Step 8 says, we made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And in Luke 6:31, it says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So tonight we're going to begin the first in a series of 3 lessons working with Principle 6. Tonight, amends, then forgiveness, then grace. So it's so important and vital in our recovery process. We're going to dig deep into this one. We want to realize the true value of this work of amends. So if you're here for the first time tonight, I don't want you to worry about that. Do not worry that we're on Principle 6 and Step 8. There's something for you here tonight. If you can just bring your willingness, if you can just bring a teachable spirit, God can work with that, and he can start right now. Just listen for what gives you hope. Listen for something that sheds light on a spot where you feel like there's darkness. Know that God wants the highest and best for you in your life, and arriving here tonight, you have come amongst people who want to come alongside you. We've all been here on our first day, and we want to come alongside you and see you and celebrate you in the miracles that God will work in your life as you work through this process. So steps 1 through 7, we did the personal side of recovery, the internal stuff. And we gave up denial. We got into right thinking. We began or renewed a relationship with God. We learned to surrender to him. We celebrate the breakthroughs that come with fully recognizing where we have been hurt and how we have hurt others when we do our inventory. We are freed when we're armed with the knowledge of the character defects that God wants to remove from us. And we are empowered when we realize that recovery work is the road to get there. And here we are. We're on it. So that's the good news. So we arrive at step 8, and now we're prepared to do the relational work of recovery, the interpersonal work. We begin to seek repair in relationships that have been damaged by the way we've acted out of our pain and our brokenness. At this point, we're only looking for willingness. So don't worry about the actual amends. You don't have to go out tonight and start doing that. You don't have to take action on it. We're just going to work on identifying those with whom we need to make amends and to those we need to offer forgiveness. And honestly, that can be plenty of work in and of itself. We may think that we're right with God, so why drag up the past? Or we might say, who needs to dig that all back up again? I just did that work. I'm over it. I'm over it now. But why we bring up the past is this. Because events in our life are like cargo in our ship. Occasionally, they're too heavy. Sometimes we've got them packed in a kind of a wonky, dysfunctional way, right? We might have to keep an eye on all that cargo as we go along. You know, might be a little off kilter as we're going down. Occasionally, we might even need to head back there and rearrange stuff. Or bail some water that's sloshed in over the side. Or maybe the cargo bangs around under there and pokes a hole. And now we've got a slow leak. And we all know that'll sink your ship. And how well are we steering the ship when we're looking this way? When we're in the cargo hold, arranging things and paying attention to that which is in the back? Probably not so well. In fact, some of us have managed to steer our ship right into the rocks. Right into the rocks. But if we'll just dock, just come into harbor, find safe harbor, like we have here at Celebrate Recovery, just a safe space to take some things out, get down in the cargo hold, we might find things we don't need. Things that are not serving our journey currently. Things we need to throw overboard. And if we restock carefully, manage and deal with our stuff, then we can step back into the helm. We can get with God and plot a new course, and we are off and running. We are in a new moment. We can live in the moment. We can pay attention to the things that are happening in front of us. Sometimes people will say that they could never forgive the wrongs that were done to them. In these cases, often the wrong that was done to them was child molestation or sexual abuse or physical abuse or adultery. Such crimes are a deep violation that leaves painful wounds, and they are also the root of dysfunction that often brings us into recovery. And some of us don't discover those roots till we're already here, say in the middle of a step study. So I've had someone in my past whom I realized when I was in a step study that I needed to forgive. I didn't know if I could do it. He had physically assaulted me and given me herpes, and it had created physical as well as deep emotional pain. I had never felt willing to forgive, not 15 plus years running. Even though the pain and the anger and the bitterness was eating me up inside, I wore it like a stone around my neck. Did you know that you can become addicted to bitterness and hatred just as you become addicted to alcohol or sex or drugs or cigarettes? I realized that any time I thought of him, which was fairly often, as recurrences would just bring that all up for me again, I would feel depressed and discouraged and despairing. We call it the 3 D's. And it has a little acronym, a little something, because it is so intertwined with that cycle of addiction. Then a surge of hatred would just well up within me, and anger and bitterness. And honestly, I preferred that. I preferred that. It was like a thick salve being put over an open wound, and I hid beneath it. And it sort of energized me in a real dysfunctional way, right? Yeah. Energized and angry, fueled by bitterness and shame. Don't you wish you knew me then? Not a great, attractive way to run my life, you know? But that's how it went. And it wasn't until I got here and I got in a step study and I got to this step and someone told me, the book and my people that I was in with, that the forgiveness was for me. It wasn't for him. I truly realized that I might be able to be free of that. I could maybe begin to connect with the willingness to forgive. Not the actual forgiving, mind you, just the willingness. It was a huge work for me to be able to just pray that I was willing. And I prayed it like this. Oh, Lord, okay, I don't know how you're going to pull this off, because I am angry, and frankly, I've liked it that way, but I'm ready to do it your way. So I now say I am willing to forgive. And I just prayed and prayed, I'm willing to forgive, until I felt willing. And I have to tell you, I'm a work in progress. Forgiving the perpetrators of wrongs like mine or things that are far, far worse, especially those things that are perpetrated against people when they are a child. Forgiveness in these cases, even after dealing with the emotional pain, may seem impossible. We will deal specifically with this issue in the lesson on forgiveness, the three types of forgiveness. So for now, tonight, I want you to hear the way that Celebrate Recovery rewords this step in order to honor the deep pain experienced by those in the sexual and physical abuse groups. And feel free to write this down if it applies to you so that you can refer back to it. Make a list of all persons who have harmed us and become willing to seek God's help in forgiving our perpetrators as well as forgiving ourselves. Realize we've also harmed others and become willing to make amends to them. They're separate and distinct. And what happened in that first part was not your fault. If you were a child, it was not your fault. You had no choice. And that is a forgiveness work. The amends work is to realize that we've also harmed others and become willing to make amends to them. So we're going to focus on that last part, making amends to others, except to do so would harm them or others. And as I speak about those things that were done to me, I must also say that out of pain and brokenness and those three D's, I created pain. I created a lot of pain for others. And it is for those actions that I stand accountable. It is for those actions that I need to offer amends. See, it's all connected, you guys. We're all one. It's all connected. But we can break the cycle. It can stop with you. Hurt people, hurt people, hurt people, hurt people, until someone stops the cycle. And that can be us. I hurt people out of anger and bitterness. But we can come here and follow the steps and do the work. We can reach out to God and He will forgive us and redeem us. When we offer amends with sincerity and authenticity and vulnerability, we become free. It's for us. We become free. Matthew 5:23 and 24 says this, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and first go and be reconciled with them and then come and offer your gift." Our relationship, that tells us our relationship with God is impacted by the status of our relationship with other people. How can we have an open and unfettered and deep relationship with God if we are draped under thick blankets of guilt and shame and bitterness? Just picture every one of those emotions like a heavy blanket. First, drape on some guilt, because we know we've done some stuff wrong. Ugh, just get that on. Then we're going with anger. Can anybody in here identify with some anger? Ooh, pretty heavy. There we go. And then how about some worthlessness, and some shame, some hatred? And here we are. Oh, goodness sakes, how am I going to do all this? Oh, oh, oh. And here I am under all this stuff, feeling a little suffocated, a little closed off. Now, I can come to you, and can I get a nice warm hug? Sure I can. But can I feel it? Not really. Not so much. Can I get some pats of encouragement and a nice loving touch and loving words? Sure I can. But can I really feel it? Can I take it in under all of this? Not really. I'm blocking it, see? since I'm the one under all these blankets. Now, the people out there whom I've hurt, better move this a little, they're not suffocating, are they? They might have their own blankets, but they can take them off whenever they want. But I'm here blocked from the power of love from God and from those in my life. And that's why we clean up our own side of the street. That's why we do amends and work to reconcile relationships. Because only when we take this away from ourselves through the power of God can we really be in a deep connection with God. Can we feel His presence? And when you get right with yourself, when you get rid of these things, only then can you present your full self and really be connected to those people that you love, to your God, and be filled and powerful and move forward. It is crucial. It's crucial. When you get right with yourself and you get right with your people and you get right with God, your life will take off. Your life will take off. So let's talk about how to have an amends happen. Let's take a look at, you'll find on your sheet, I'm all messed up. You'll find on your sheet an acrostic that spells out the word amends. So we're going to go through that. And the first thing that we need to do in looking at amends is admit the hurt and the harm. Luke 6:37 says, "Do not judge others, and God will not judge you. Do not condemn others, and God will not condemn you. Forgive others, and God will forgive you." You get what you give. What you put out there, you get back. And here in Luke is where he tells us that that's true. It wasn't just the Beatles. Do not hold on to resentments, because it not only blocks your recovery, but it blocks your forgiveness from God. Also, when making an amends, we want to be totally honest, and we want to not make any justifications for our behavior when we're doing that. So a good amends would be, "Hey, Kent, I'm really sorry about how I treated you last week. I know I said something that was hurtful. I'm really sorry about that." Not so good would be, "Hey, sorry about that. You know, I was really busy, and if you would have known the kind of day I had before I got to you, and, you know, it was just really awful, and, sorry. Right? We don't want to make a justification for our behavior. We can just leave that out and just come with the true, honest words. Thank you for letting me use it as an example there, sir. Just own straight up to it. Next, we make a list. The M in amends stands for make a list. Luke 6:31 says, "Treat others as you would like to be treated." In Participants Guide 3, if you have the step study books, you'll find on pages 30 and 31 a worksheet, and it requests that you fill in two columns. The first one would be for people that you need to forgive. Just make the list of their names. The second would be the list of people for whom you need to make an amends, people that you've hurt. If you've done a step study and completed an inventory, then column one would be your list of people that you need to forgive, and column five would be the list of people who you would give an amends. And at this point, like I said, don't worry about actually making the amends. Just make the list and get willing. The E stands for encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." So here at Celebrate Recovery, we have a two-part system that we use, and that is a sponsor and an accountability team or accountability partners. So a sponsor, for those who might not know, is a guide or a coach. It's somebody who's a little further down the road of recovery than you. It's someone who's finished the 12-step study that we offer here, and if you look for folks with a lanyard, I forgot mine tonight, you'll see that those folks have also done an extra leadership training, and those are great people to get in contact with if you're looking for a sponsor. We strongly recommend it. Have a guide. Have somebody to, you know, show you the ropes and help you move forward, especially when doing an amends. You want to make a solid game plan for how you're going to do that, and this person will have the has already been through it, so they can help you. The other side of it is the accountability partners, and these are the folks you go to get your pep talk, Because this is hard work. Let's be honest. That is not easy stuff to do, to go to someone that you've hurt and really own up straight to it. So you want to have somebody in your corner to pep talk you ahead of time. These are your brothers and sisters that are going to stand shoulder to shoulder, and they're walking through life with us. You might have met them in your step study or in your small group. And a special plug tonight, we don't often talk about it from the stage, but we have a fellowship time after the sharing, the small group sharing. We call it Solid Rock. And it is a really important time. We would hope that you would be brave and come in, and there'll be some snacks and some beverages. And that's a great place to connect with other people. So if there's somebody that you want to ask questions of or talk to, or somebody that you connected with in small group, come on in. And if you've been here a while, then a special request to really be mindful of people who might be here by themselves. Look around and really let's reach out. Let's really embrace everyone, because we are all in this together. We are all in this together. Next is the N, and that stands for not for them. Luke 6:35 says, love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back. It's a little outside the conventional way we do things, isn't it? Lend and not expect anything back. I think that is a good challenge for most of us. I know it is for me. It's a gift that we give ourselves. It's the freedom that we get for ourselves. And so, like I had said before, it's not for them. But we also want to have reasonable expectations. And in my opinion, that means no expectations. That's the best place to start in the world of expectations, at zero. Don't expect anything back. We don't know how they're going to react. And we need to really come as close as we can to a space where we are released in a neutral way from caring about that. We need to just show up and do what's right for ourselves and our walk and let God take care of them. Let God take care of the rest. I've had the experience of giving an amends, and I was like, well, she kind of owes me an amends too, but I don't hear one coming. Just saying. And, you know, but I got, you know, I took my own advice. I didn't go into it with that, but I certainly am human and thought it. And you know what? I just let it be. And many, many months later, she came back to me and said, hey, you know, I know you apologized, and I just wanted to tell you I know I had a part in that. I was like, oh, God, he just does everything in his own time. He's got it. He's always got my back. He's always got our backs. So wait it out, and see what he's going to do. Wait to delight with expectation in the miracle that he can work in anyone's life, anyone's life. So the next thing is we want to fill in the D for do it at the right time. Do it at the right time. There's a right time for everything, says Ecclesiastes 3:1. And timing is everything, is it not? So important. So we want to be respectful and make sure the person is available. We don't want to just run up, you know, on their the shift is going to start in 2 minutes and catch them on the fly. We want to, you know, give the respect to the amends that it deserves. And so we really want to come and say, hey, you know, do you have a minute? I'd like to talk to you about something. If you know them, depending on the relationship, you know, you just want to open that conversation. Maybe you want to set a time to have coffee, or maybe they have a few minutes right then. But really be mindful of the timing. And the best way to get the right timing is pray about it first. Pray about it first and let God lead you on your way. His timing is always the best, even if you think it's a weird time. If you have prayed about it and you feel led, you know, see if you can really bring yourself to trust in God's timing in that way and see what he can do. So that brings us to the S, the last letter in our acrostic, and that stands for start living the promises of recovery. We call it celebrate recovery. Call it celebrate recovery. Because we want to start living the promises of God right here in step 8. We're not even to 12 yet, and we're celebrating. That's what I like about this. We just delight in God all the way through, even while we do the hard stuff, because together we can do the hard stuff. Together we can do the hard stuff. So Joel 2:25 says, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. So who here feels like maybe the locusts have eaten some years out of their life. especially when that looks like addiction, pain, suffering of some kind. Right? I know that's true for my life. And I feel joyful and heartened to read something like this where he says, I will repay you for that. When you come into right standing, when you right your relationship with God, when you open up and really get your heart engaged in your life, when you throw off the blankets and move forward, you can have the promises of God. And those promises include freedom and joy and renewal and redemption. And when we walk that out, man, there's nothing we can't do together when you're living your life on that path. Because we all have a path. Everyone has a calling. And when you're straight in that calling and you're in the sweet spot where God had wanted you all along, you're going to be filled with joy. And there is a calling on your life. Really hear that. There is a calling on your life. There's a reason that you're here on this planet. There's a reason that you're here tonight. Nobody has the exact same mix of gifts and love and joy and things to bring forward. Nobody has what you have. There's a reason that he intended for you to be here. And I invite you to do this work and get free and find out what it is and live in the joyous expectation of what he will do next. I'm going to close with Jeremiah 29:11. Love this verse. A lot of you know it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's a promise. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this program. Thank you that we can all come and seek your healing. I just ask that you help every person here move into the sharing time with a brave heart. Like we heard in the song, Lord, help us to be brave and vulnerable, that we can unburden ourselves and delight in your glory, that we can walk with each other and support each other as we move forward into the powerful, amazing life that you have planned for each one of us. I just thank you, and I ask that you be with every person here. Help them all to go through their week with a renewed sense of your presence in their life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.